The Columbia Workshop presents Jury Trial, a play for radio by Elizabeth and James Hart. Jury Trial.
And so, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I repeat that since the fire occurred in the daylight hour, since it was neither in nor endangered a dwelling house, and since it took place at a time when no person was in the building, your verdict must be either guilty or not guilty of arson in the second degree. The fact that the actual damage was very small is not a matter for you to consider. You are concerned only with the question of guilt or innocence. Have the people, through the assistant district attorney, proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant, John Parochian, on the Sunday morning recited in the indictment, willfully set fire to his upholstery shop in order to defraud the insurers of his stock and fixtures. If, after careful consideration of the evidence and testimony, you believe such to be the case, I charge you to find the defendant guilty. If not, I charge you to find him not guilty. Please retire now at the table and begin the deliberation.
Right this way, please. Right this way.
There they go now, Mr. Hill.
They're going to the jury room, John, to decide whether or not you're guilty.
Guilty? You make jokes, huh? But serious, why they have to go away? You are my lawyer. Why they not say to you, okay, Mr. Hill, Parochian do nothing wrong, you take him home now.
Well, it's not quite as simple as that, John. The jury always takes a little time to reach a verdict.
Or so? On the clock now, it is 11 o'clock in 15 minutes. I tell my wife to have meal ready for half hour past noon, and she's very honored if you eat with us.
Listen, John, I don't want to frighten you, but I can't let you go on thinking this jury is bound to find you innocent. The Lord knows they should. But after all...
What do you mean, Mr. Hill?
You weren't a very good witness for yourself, John. You got mixed up several times, and... Well, you just didn't make sense.
I don't understand
how it happened, John. I know the prosecution was using an old lawyer's trick to produce an effect on a jury of guilty embarrassment. But at the same
time... I not know what he means when he asks me what I do with books of what I spend and books of what I make. Then he asks questions so fast and so angry that English words for answering go out of my head.
Yes, I know, John.
All the time I am in the United States, I want to go to school at night, learn English from teachers. But always I'm working so hard to get money to bring my wife here, have little shop of my own.
Yes, of course, John, and your English is very good now under normal circumstances. He rattled you, and you were...
What he mean when he say, did you not take account books from shop before you start fire because you fear maybe fire will be put out before books turn up? Already I tell him I do not start fire. Already I tell him I do not ever have books. He know all the time, yet he asks such questions.
He was just trying to confuse you. And then when you... Oh, well, there's no use bothering you about that.
Something else I say is no good?
John, don't you remember that I told you the prosecutor would ask how much you were in debt? And that when you answered him, you shouldn't say anything about the $300 you owe to your friend, Avakian? You should have followed my advice. There was no way anybody could have found out about that.
Before God, I swear I tell truth yet. How then can I lie? And how, if I say one lie, will they not believe all else I say is false?
Oh, well, it's done now.
Oh, you are troubled, Mr. Hill.
No. It's just that you never can be absolutely sure of what a jury is going to... Well, John, jurors are funny people.
Funny?
I did the best I could with them, but it takes all kinds to make a jury.
To the members of the jury... You will readily understand that the ordinary routine of bookkeeping would not seem important to John Parochian.
Agnes Schroeder, I must have told you 100 times that the place for the account book is in the top drawer left. No, never mind, I found it.
Let's see, Columbia Seat 78, correct? Broke the 14th of 5th.
I said that yesterday.
Movies, car fare, incidentals.
I wish you'd stop lumping things under incidentals. It's so sloppy.
8, 15, 24, 32, 41.
Agnes, you're 19, and short your account. I can't stand this eternal carelessness. No, 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 I haven't time to hear excuses. I can't be late for jury duty. I'm foreman.
You need no reminder from me what it means to this immigrant from a far land to find in America a new opportunity.
Judy, you ought to get yourself measured for this jury duty. $3 a day ain't thin. Sean's got to pay a regular, too. It's like hitting the jackpot. Now, hunt for another cover that Jim over, huh? Ah, thanks, pal. Yeah, and hand your lap to see those two-bit crooks squirming around the stand when a DA turns the heat on them. Yeah, a bunch of foreigners, most of them. Imagine them stupid crooks thinking they can get away with something.
Gentlemen of the jury, this shop to which we has accused this man of setting fire was the very heart of his existence. Perhaps to the jury, accustomed to larger interests, a small furniture shop would not seem so.
Bring Mr. Critchell some fresh toast. I'm frightfully sorry, Perry, to keep you popping in here for breakfast every morning. No helping it, though, with this filthy jury duty taking up all my time. Now, about this stockholders' meeting this morning, these notes should help you. As I've jotted down the pet prejudice and weakness of every important stockholder who will show up, they just keep them at each other's throats until they get the idea that stringing along with us is the only feasible course. I wish I could be there. Maybe I should have been a puppeteer. I do enjoy making the little figures go through their paces, all unaware that they're being manipulated.
Attorney has done his best to frighten and confuse this man. You, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you must have experienced what it means to be confronted suddenly by the austere countenance of the law. However innocent a man may be.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Munns. I was just putting on my things to go to jury duty. I suppose you came up to see about the rent, didn't you? I was going to drop by and tell you on my way out. You see, our release check is late again. I just can't go asking for it, Mrs. Munns. I just can't. Makes me feel so much like a beggar when they look at me in that suspicious way and use that tone of voice. And they might find out I was on jury duty and say it was wrong for me to have that and release too. Oh, Mrs. Munns, that jury money is like a gift from God. I don't know how I ever happened to get picked. I don't know if it isn't like taking blood money to be paid for sitting in judgment on all those miserable, unlucky people. But Mrs. Munns,
members of the jury are bound together now and forever by the common ties of the American heritage of equal justice.
If I ever saw a germ carrier, that man who sits in back of me in the jury box, throwing a perfect miasma around my head all day long, is criminal. To make people serve on jury, that expose them to all kinds of infections. They could easily disinfect everybody before they let them into the courtroom. What have we got a board of health for? I know. I'm on the very brink of influenza. Where did I put that thermometer?
Members of this community, you have seen poverty torn up by pride and hunger sustained by self-respect.
Hello, hello, I'm trying to get... Is this an aunt here, social workers? Oh, good morning, Miss Ferguson. Miss Ferguson, I do wish you'd remember to answer the phone properly by saying volunteer social workers good morning. Now, Miss Ferguson, I shan't be able to come in today. No, I'm serving on the jury, which is really another form of social work, you know. Yes, now, Miss Ferguson, I want the Battaglia family stricken from our rolls. The man was extremely impertinent to me the other day when I told him that anybody with a little gumption could get a job. And one of the children was openly insulting. I have a good mind to report them to the relief authorities. Yes, thank you, Miss Ferguson. Oh, yes, I'll be in tomorrow morning. The case I'm on is really very simple. Goodbye.
I appeal to you as a rock of justice in a sea of prejudice and easy condemnation. John Perosian, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, has faith in America and in America.
A bit faster, buddy.
Other door, officer. Other door.
I've got 198.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello.
Watch yourself.
Hello, Miss Foley. I didn't know you took this bike.
Oh, hello there.
Don't bother, Miss Foley. I got it.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Gotta let me pay you back.
Let's grab this seat quick. Ah. Here we are.
Hey, you're regular Sir Walter Raleigh, aren't you?
Well, maybe that's because you're some queen yourself.
Well, that's quite a cute remark, Mr. Hanson.
Well, how are things at the office?
You know as well as I do, I expect. Oh, that's right. You've been out, haven't you? Sick?
No. Jury duty. I might have known you'd never notice if I was around or not.
Listen, with a switchboard in this, you don't even get a chance to notice if the roof was to blow off from over your head.
Ah, just the same. You'd probably notice at some parties. Well, say Al Lewis or Jack Kibler. If they was to blow off...
I'm sure I never acted unfriendly toward you. I'm the last individual in the world to act unfriendly toward anybody.
Well, maybe not unfriendly exactly, but... Well, take, for example, if I was to ask you for a date tonight, what would you say?
I'd say I was sorry, but I already got a prior engagement.
That's what I mean, you see.
Well, really, when you ask a person this late, you shouldn't be surprised that somebody else got ahead of you. Besides, you can't make dates now. You're on jury duty.
What difference does that make? You don't have to go in training to be on the jury.
I mean, you never know when you'll get through. My girlfriend's boyfriend was on jury duty once, and she said it was like keeping company with a married man. You never knew whether you had a date or not. It all depended if he could get out.
Oh, they don't ever keep us late. Why, we've been through every day around 4 o'clock. Now, can't you break your other date tonight? Gee, I wanted to take you to this dance.
I'm awful sorry, but like I said, I already got this prior engagement.
I sure have bad luck. This is the first dance the Pastime AC's given this
season. Oh, I didn't know you belonged to the Pastime AC. I hear they got a very high bunch of fellas.
Oh, we got a pretty nice membership. You know, this party ought to be one of our best affairs, opening the season like it does.
Turning it over in my mind and all, I might be able to put off this other gentleman.
Sure you can.
Only I don't like taking the chance on being left high and dry, this jury stuff.
Honest, all we got to do today is have the judge give us a charge. Well, we ought to be through by noon. This man they're trying so innocent, why, we won't be more than 10 minutes getting an acquittal. Gosh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. We're not supposed to discuss it with anybody.
You seem to take it awful serious.
I guess I do with that. Yeah, it's funny. You feel kind of like you do when you vote, like a citizen. Well, of course, you're a citizen all the time, but most of the time you don't exactly think about it. Now, being on a jury makes you feel terrible responsible and a little solemn-like.
Not changing the subject, but I...
Yeah, what about it? You will break that date.
You sure you can make it?
You know I wouldn't kid you.
Well, just the same, I'm not going to take a chance. I'll tell you what I'll do. I won't break my date now, but if you ring me before 6 o'clock, I will.
Great. Gee, thanks, Selma. Thanks a lot.
Here comes my stop. Remember now, if you don't call by 6, I won't wait. Not a split sec. I'm not sitting around and waiting for you or nobody else, mister. And that's not all. You'll never get another chance to stand me up again if you do it this time.
See you tonight, then.
It's up to you.
Yes, John. Juries are funny. You are troubled, Mr. Hill. I see in your face. But these men and women cannot think I burn up my own shop. They cannot.
All right, now you look. I can do better than
you. Not to me, he didn't. He sounded like he kind of expected us to know he wasn't guilty.
I wonder, Mr. Hanson, if you gathered that impression when the prosecution wrung out of him that he was up to his ears in debts that he couldn't possibly repay.
He never said he couldn't repay it, and they didn't wring it out of him, neither. They didn't wring anything.
Well, I didn't think so, either. Of course, I don't know, but it seemed to me the poor man didn't try to hide a thing.
Oh, Miss Bryan, I believe I qualify as a more expert observer than you in matters of this sort. My social work brings me into constant contact with the less desirable elements of society. If ever I saw anyone telling one brazen falsehood after another, it was that poor man, as you so mistakenly call him.
I don't think you know any more about
it. I can't understand, Mr. Talcott, how you can skip over the disappearance of the ledger so lightly. Why, to me, that was by far the most damning piece of evidence.
Would you mind not leaning over and breathing in my face?
Why, I...
I beg your pardon.
I've noticed that you have an incipient head cold.
I was about to say it stands to reason that unless his account showed a heavy deficit, he wouldn't...
How do you know that he kept accounts? He said that he didn't.
But, Mr. Talcott, how could he possibly operate a...
Well, it looks as though we still stand 8-4 for conviction.
Yes.
Or perhaps I should say 8-3 with one boat missing. Merkel over there seems to have only one thing on his mind, and that's lunch at the state's expense. I take it you feel the defendant's innocent, Mr. Talcott.
Well,
I say you look tired.
I'm utterly exhausted, Mr. Arnold. My resistance is very low. I'm certain to come down with influenza if I have to stay much longer in this perfect incubator.
Oh, what a rotten shame. Lord knows how long we'll be here, too.
Oh, what makes you think that?
Juries must reach verdicts. The longer we disagree, the longer we'll be here. I've heard of juries that were locked up in drafty rooms for 10 or 12 hours.
10 or 12 hours?
All this tobacco smoking must be very bad for your
throat. It's excruciating torture. No, don't open that window, please. Another draft would finish me.
10 or 12 hours.
Why,
if you take my advice, Mr. Schroeder, let's have another poll immediately. And if you can manage to sneeze once or twice, convince me.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, please. Now, shall we take another poll now?
Oh, no, let's wait after we eat. You know, they don't serve a bad dish at Charlie. I remember from last year.
Perhaps you prefer a show of hands, Mr. Merkel. Yeah. It would take less time than a poll.
Okay. Only don't let's stand around flapping our lips afterwards. 12:30, it's time to eat where I come from.
Now, will those who believe the defendant not guilty please raise their hands? Miss Bryan, Mr. Merkel, and Mr. Hanson.
Oh, Mr. Talcott, I am delighted that you finally recognize the truth.
Yes, indeed.
9-3. Schroeder, we're making progress.
Yes.
Now, wouldn't it be wise to ask the bailiff to send in lunch? Unless I'm wrong, Merkel won't be a problem after his fed.
Very good idea. Yes.
Change your mind, won't you, John? Come on downstairs for a bite to eat. It's 3:00.
3:00. Almost 4 hours they're out of the... Why'd they not come back, Mr. Hill?
Well, this really isn't unusually long. When juries disagree,
but
sometimes...
But how can anyone think I do this? Then I speak only truth to them.
Well, you see, John, they listen to the other side's witnesses, too. People who testified to seeing you leave the shop Sunday morning, just a few hours before the fire broke out.
Every Sunday I go there. It is only time I have for clean shop good, make it look like nice place ought. I tell them that.
And then the fire captain and the insurance investigator said they found oil-soaked rags.
Those are for oil floor after I scrub and for polished legs of chairs and sofas after I fix. I tell them that, too.
Well, I guess most of them will realize that a few rags with furniture oil on them is no grounds for conviction.
Why they try to convict me? Why they think I burn up shop that I have want and work for so long that I have borrowed money from friend to get... that I have for so little while. Why they want to send me to prison who do nothing but work for what I need for wife I love. What of her, Mr. Hill? She is in this country only a year. She have no one here but me.
Yes, I know, John.
If they send me to prison, what become of her? What, Mr. Hill?
Oh, don't, John. You mustn't.
They will not do that. Surely.
Just you and me left to hold the fort, Miss Bryan.
Yes, Mr. Merkel changed his mind quite suddenly, didn't he?
That guy. He wasn't holding out for the defendant. He was holding out for lunch.
Yes, that's the way it looks to me.
Mrs. Ainsworth, do you think it's wise to leave our two diehards together like that? I see Mr. Merkel and Schroeder have the same idea. But I'm afraid neither of them will have much effect.
Oh, just think that someone like that handsome person can clog the wheels of justice just through sheer mulishness.
Possibly Miss Bryan is more amenable to reason. I'm sure that if anyone can make her change her mind, you can.
Oh, do you think so? Well, perhaps. Miss Bryan? Miss Bryan, might I have a word with you? Come over here, won't you?
Excuse me, Mr. Hanson. I guess I'll have to go.
Sure. Look, Mr. Shorter, we've been all over that before. I say, what did he need books for? Running a little crack in the wall like he had. All he needed was a cup.
Now, you don't get the angle, Hanson. Old Peroxide, or whatever his name is, ain't like you and me. He's a foreigner. They got different ideas of doing business.
Yeah.
Just as soon as the going gets tough, they buy themselves a wad of insurance and a box of matches, and then some Sunday a.m. when nobody else is awake.
That Sunday stuff don't cut any ice with me. Anybody that listened to him could tell he was as nuts about that store as if it was his kid. He just couldn't stop fussing over it.
Oh, that's ridiculous. What a silly argument.
Miss Bryan, your sole argument seems to be that you just know he's innocent.
Well?
May I ask what kind of work you do that has trained you to read character as well as you obviously think you can?
Oh, it isn't that, Mrs. Ainsworth.
No, I'm really quite serious. What exactly do you do?
I simply couldn't send that poor man to prison.
No, only a judge can send a man to prison. I'm sure you're not a judge.
Well, I suppose I haven't any real reason. But the fire couldn't possibly have hurt anyone, and... Oh, can't you see how someone could get so desperate that...
Yes, go on.
Hasn't this trial and all he's been through been punishment enough for him? What if he did do it? He's learned his lesson. Let's have pity.
Oh, then you really think he did it, don't you?
Oh, Mrs. Ainsworth, I don't know. I guess maybe I do, but
oh,
I...
Oh, Mr. Schroeder! Mr. Schroeder! Miss Bryan has changed her mind!
Why, Mrs. Perosian.
Maria, why you come here?
Sit down here, Mrs. Perosian, will you? Take this chair next to John.
Thanks.
How you find the right place to come?
I go over old buildings, ask many people, look in many rooms, and then I see you and Mr. Hill through the door. Excuse I come, please, but I cannot bear no more to wait. My heart is crazy with fear.
Mr. Hill.
Yes?
Do you mind stepping up to the bench? The judge would like to speak to you.
Oh, yes, certainly. If you'll pardon me, Mrs. Prosen.
Mario, you shake like cold wind blow on you. Calm your heart. Nothing bad had happened.
Why you stay here still, huh?
I must stay till my jury say I'm innocent. They have not yet come back. It mean nothing, but no. Mr. Hill say they always take long time.
But wait.
Mr. Hill feel very bad. We must miss meal when I tell him how good you cook.
Most of things taste good still for supper. Maybe he...
You have not eat up everything yourself, huh?
No, I eat nothing. Oh, cannot.
Oh, that is bad, Marian. How you have strong, fine child if you not eat.
John, I cannot think even of the child when you
yes,
still...
Marion, yes. It is all right. Just now I tell Mr. Hill about the child coming.
He is happy.
He said we ought to tell him before trial start, I mean, so he can tell my jury.
Tell the jury? Why do you want to tell them?
He say maybe it make them feel sorry for you, so they don't want I should go to jail.
Jail? John, you...
Hush, Marion. Mr. Hill, come back.
Oh, John, the judge wants you and Mrs. Perosian to step out in the hall for a moment. Oh, don't be frightened now. It doesn't mean anything bad. No. You better go now. Just wait outside the door. I'll call you back in a few minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I've called you back here to ask you in the presence of counsel to make every effort to reach a verdict. Your deliberations have been going on since 11:15 this morning. This is not a complex case. I see no reason why you cannot agree. I ask you not to be stubborn and not to allow personal pride to close your minds to persuasion. Please return now to your deliberation.
John, you and Mrs. Perosian can come back in now.
Oh, my jury come back. I see through door. What they say, Mr. Hill?
Well, they didn't say anything, John. The judge just had them come in so we could tell them he wanted a verdict. Now, there's nothing good or bad about it insofar as we're concerned.
Oh.
But time's working on our side from now on. The judge wouldn't have called them unless we were getting impatient. Now, if they don't reach a verdict in the next hour or so, I'm quite sure he'll declare a disagreement.
That would be good.
Well, it would probably mean you could forget this whole business, John. The district attorney's office is too busy to bother about retrying a case like this.
Oh, God be praised.
When the judge mentioned stubborn pride, he was rebuking you, Mr. Hanson.
Yeah, like he said, it ain't as if the case was complex.
Juries are expected to reach verdicts on these minor cases.
This is a murder trial.
Not only criminals who are undermining society, it's men like
you. Yes, sir, I think so. We won't allow you to go home.
Shut up. Shut up.
up, all of you. I say he's innocent, and I'm sticking to it. The DA didn't prove a thing on him. Nothing any of you said is worth a plug nickel to me. I'm sorry if the foreman's worried about the judge and if Mrs. Ainsworth thinks I'm some kind of a red that's trying to wreck society. Sure, it isn't a murder trial, Mr. Arnold, but that doesn't mean I gotta say a man did something I know he didn't. Maybe if you was Perugia.
Ah, nuts. We can stay here till Christmas and I'll make a dent in this guy. Throw to send word to the judge we're hung. We can't do anything about it.
Go ahead. Can we do that? Certainly not. I refuse to be a party to any such shit.
Well, you got nothing to do with it, lady. It's up to the foreman, see?
No. I don't think I could possibly send such a message. Right after the judge has requested us to make fresh up.
Why not?
Please. I shall not send a message now. But if we haven't reached a verdict by 7 o'clock, I shall urgently request that the judge declare us in disagreement and dismiss us.
Mrs. Schroeder is quite...
Well, now, that's the only thing I can do.
Well, those were a snappy game of tic-tac-toe. We got an hour and 15 minutes to kill. It's only 6:15 now.
Quarter to six? It can't be that
long. I'm afraid it is, Mr. Hanson. 14 minutes of six, to be exact.
Here comes myself. Remember now, if you don't call by six, I won't wait.
Don't you think there's something in the fact that 11 of us sincerely believe this man to be guilty?
Huh? Excuse me, Mr. Arnold, I was... Yeah, I suppose I got the best odds of being wrong, but so long as I think...
I'm not sitting around and waiting for you or anybody else, mister. 6 o'clock.
The world couldn't run at all if nobody ever gave an inch. The law itself operates on the principle of reasonable compromise.
Oh, maybe. Maybe I got a blown-up idea of how a juror ought to act. Only I
myself would feel differently if we were facing a long mandatory sentence. But the judge has wide discretion in a case like this. He'll take all the mitigating circumstances into account.
You'll never get another chance to stand me up if you do it this time. Not a split sec after six. It's up to you, mister.
Well, I guess... Oh, I guess...
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
We have.
What is your verdict?
Guilty as charged.
No, mister. No. You must not say that. That is lies. That is a lie. A big lie. No.
I never dreamed you could dance so clever, Freddy. Take that little step we was doing. It's novel.
Glad you liked it, Selma.
The hall's decorated quite artistic, isn't it? Isn't it? I asked you a question, Freddy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure is.
If my conversation bores you, I'm sure I can...
Oh, you know it don't. It's just that, well, I was thinking of something else.
I forgot to ask you. Did your case come out like you said it would?
No, didn't.
You don't say. What happened?
He was found guilty.
Well, it just goes to show you never can tell about anybody, doesn't it? How long did he get?
The judge don't sentence him till next week. Coming down the elevator, though, I asked the DA. He said it being the first offense and all, he'd probably get about 5 years.
Is that all?
Well, it's a pretty long time.
It's nothing at all. Why, just think how fast the past 5 years has gone, I mean.
Yeah, I guess if you think of it that way.
Gee, listen to that band.
Yeah, kind of smooth, ain't they? Yeah. If you come to think of how long a person lives, I guess 5 years isn't really so much in a whole lifetime, is it?
You have been listening to the Columbia Workshops presentation of Jury Trial, an original radio play by James and Elizabeth Hart. Next week at this same time, the Columbia Workshop will present another new original radio play, The Winged Victory by David Redstone. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.